It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. UW-Madison is tapped to lead a nationwide study to advance clinical care for Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia. We learn about the five-year study and hear from you. Call in with a question, share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sterling Johnson is a professor of medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and the study's leader. Sterling, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. It's great to be here this morning.
Well, give us a glimpse into how this $150 million will be used over the next 5 years for dementia research.
Thank you. This is an extraordinary opportunity for not just UW-Madison, but for our whole field to get a better idea of how often Alzheimer's disease occurs in the brain, how early it occurs, and also what other forms of dementia might be co-occurring alongside Alzheimer's disease. And the reason that is so important is because we now know that Alzheimer's disease usually does not occur by itself. It usually occurs with at least one other brain condition. And this is understandable as we age. More than one thing might be going on in the brain.
So you've been there's the term mixed dementia, and that really speaks to this research?
It really does, yeah. We're focused, of course, on Alzheimer's disease because that's the most common cause of dementia. But there's other things that happen too. One of them is vascular dementia, and vascular disease is a common problem in the brain as we age. And when a person has both, they might decline faster in terms of their cognitive abilities and their course towards dementia. But there's also other, what we call proteinopathies. Alzheimer's disease, at its core, it's a proteinopathy. There's two proteins that become dysregulated and they cause the plaques and tangles, which we can talk about. But there's other proteinopathies, and one of them causes Lewy body disease. And another one causes a new type of dementia called limbic predominant age-related TDP-43 encephalopathy. These are conditions that may happen alongside Alzheimer's disease that we're now positioned to be able to identify and study.
And the mixture of conditions would be different than, you know, a different treatment course along the way might also then,
That's right.
Be guiding physicians as they try to figure out what are the next steps for treatment.
That's right. Each person's different. Mm. Each person's different. Their Alzheimer's disease may begin in their mid-50s for one person and their 70s for another person, and their symptoms may not be present till 20 years later. And then the mixture of these other kinds of causes of cognitive impairment may be present to varying degrees, and they may, the timing of each of these additional factors may be different. And that's the challenge, as to how to identify these things in the individual patient so that we can improve their care, so that we can get them on the right treatment and have the right expectations for that treatment as well.
We're talking about Alzheimer's and dementia research. Sterling Johnson here, professor of medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. You can join in with your questions and your comments, 800-642-1234. One aim of the study is to develop a standardized test for analyzing hallmark biomarkers of Alzheimer's. What do you mean by hallmark biomarkers?
Yeah, biomarkers are the way we look at the brain. They're our tool to understand what's going on. So a biomarker is just a measurement of a biological process. And in this case, we're looking at the hallmark signs of Alzheimer's disease that's what we're anchoring ourselves to as a study. And that would be those amyloid plaques and the neurofibrillary tangles, the plaques and tangles. Those are the two big features of Alzheimer's disease. And we can actually see those with some advanced brain imaging techniques that all of these Alzheimer's centers have the capability of using.
You mean like PET scans, spinal taps?
That's right.
Yeah.
PET scans and lumbar punctures, we used to call those spinal taps, but they're a way of getting the these lumbar punctures are a way of getting the fluid that actually bathes the brain. And in that fluid, we can look for these different protein combinations that tell us if there's amyloid plaques in the brain and tau related, that's the other protein with Alzheimer's, tau related changes. But we can also look for other proteins in that spinal fluid, such as alpha synuclein or other indicators of other diseases. But really, this study is we're going to focus on those imaging techniques because that's what is most accessible to our participants and something that we think more people will be able and willing to do. These
Yes.
imaging techniques can help us understand when the plaques and tangles appear and how long they've been there and how fast they're growing.
Yes, these participants in the study, what might they encounter along the way as you follow them? What will they go through?
They will come in and go through a couple several different types of imaging. One would be this amyloid PET scan that looks for amyloid plaques. And another imaging procedure would be a tau PET scan that looks for these neurofibrillary tangles and also where the image helps us see where they are in the brain. And then we would do an MRI scan as well. And in some cases, we would also be doing a more standard type of PET scan called a glucose PET scan. And then they'll come back a couple of years later for those same kinds of scans. But the other thing that we'll be gathering alongside those images is blood. And that's something we can talk about because it's now possible to detect some of these diseases with a blood test. And
There.
we'll be evaluating new tests as we go along and using established tests as well.
Very curious about that. There are a bunch of new blood tests that doctors can order now, trying to figure out whether their patient with memory loss also has Alzheimer's disease. What do you know? What can you tell us about these blood tests?
Right now, most of them are available for research so that we can evaluate them and know how good they're going to be in different stages of Alzheimer's disease. But there's some that are commercially available, and there's many that are available for researchers that allow us to look in the blood and see if these amyloid proteins and the tau proteins are there. And what we're learning so far is that they're almost as accurate as these very fancy and advanced imaging, PET scan imaging procedures. And that's really exciting because that means that we'll be able to get these diagnostic techniques out to the community in a way that improves their care. And that's one of our major goals of this study, is to bring confidence to the community about the value of these, the value and usefulness of these blood markers.
So you're saying that these blood tests could ultimately better detect the buildup of these plaques and tangles in the brain, and that test could be ordered, and then you could also be able to figure out where that person is with the condition.
That's right. That's the goal. We're not there yet, and that's part of the goal of this research is to bring us closer to that reality. We think it'll happen.
Sterling Johnson is a professor of medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, leading a neurobiology study into Alzheimer's disease and other dementias. You can call in with a question. You can share your perspective along the way at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. UW-Madison will lead a $150 million study involving dozens of Alzheimer's disease research centers around the country. We explore what the five-year study will entail and hear from you. Call in with a question. You can add your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sterling Johnson is a clinical neuropsychologist and on the geriatrics faculty at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health study leader. Sterling, your study working with 37 Alzheimer's disease research center covering over 17,000 patients. How complicated is working with that many people, that many research groups?
We're finding out it is quite complicated, but these centers are really the most qualified and expert research workforce in the country. They see complicated patients. They're well attuned to the kind of things that we're doing, but even so, there's lots of logistics with a study this big.
I would imagine too, you'll have to prioritize the different aspects of what you need investigated and figuring out how to disperse that among all these research centers and based on their expertise.
That's right. And we do have, it's really a big team, and it involves several institutions to help us coordinate this, not just UW-Madison, but also the other UW, University of Washington in Seattle, and Stanford University, and several others who will be part of our administrative team and help us solve the logistics and help these centers get the resources they need to achieve our study results.
You are recruiting participants who are at least 55 and are experiencing either mild dementia or no current impairment. Why start there?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, this disease, Alzheimer's disease, can happen. Well, it can start many years before its symptoms. And so we do need to start with people who are not symptomatic. And we want to track how this disease unfolds and develops over the course of a person's older adult lifespan. But we're also very interested in the people with mild cognitive impairment and mild dementia, because that's where this idea of mixed dementia really comes into play. By the time a person has cognitive symptoms, they may be experiencing not just Alzheimer's, but some additional co-pathology that we talked about.
Jean from Green Bay called in to ask how people might be able to become participants in the study.
That's a great question. It's going to involve participants who are already participating in an Alzheimer's disease research center. And we have an Alzheimer's disease research center here in Madison at adrc.wisc.edu is how people can get to that. And they can sign up for participation in the ADRC there.
Okay, so looking more closely now at Alzheimer's disease, the National Institutes of Health, where this funding is coming from, also had a study finding binge drinking among middle-aged adults is at its highest levels in at least a decade. Does alcohol use affect the risk of dementia?
It does. Alcohol use and other bad habits or health characteristics that we might have can all increase our risk for dementia. We don't know how much. The alcohol use has its own type of dementia that occurs with chronic use, of course, but we know that anything we do that's not good for our brain, that's gonna result in fewer neurons or brain cells, is ultimately not gonna be good for our ability to buffer and show some resilience to these diseases that might be occurring. I don't think alcohol or any of these other lifestyle choices and health factors are going to impact when the plaques start or how fast those plaques grow in the brain, but they might affect our brain's ability to cope with these diseases, and they might hasten the course of a person's cognitive impairment and dementia.
Maddie from Green Bay called in to ask, how long will it be before doctors can determine what is happening in the brain with tests or scans rather than verbal tests of memory and other oral type tests to gauge memory and cognitive
That's a
function?
Great question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually in the clinic, what we do is we do these tests that require us to actually test your memory, test a person's memory and their thinking skills. Those are really important to help us gauge how affected that person is and whether it's dementia or not. So those tests probably won't go away, But these biomarker tests, the imaging, the blood tests, the spinal fluid tests, those are becoming available now for us to know conclusively who has Alzheimer's and who doesn't. And I think over the next 5 years, we will see more and more of these capabilities rolled out to the community clinics, especially the blood markers. We know that these PET scans can't be done in all communities. They're usually just done in these large academic medical centers. Where we're trying to go is to bridge these very complicated technical procedures to simple to use blood biomarkers. And we think that'll happen easily over the next 5 years.
How is research progressing then on fighting further Alzheimer's and other dementias in terms of fighting the plaques in the brain and you know, breaking up these tangles or trying to find some cures?
That's where our field is having so much exciting breakthroughs right now. We do have drugs. One of them is FDA approved already that will go in and find these plaques and break them down and remove these plaques completely in some cases. And there's more drugs on the way that will be in this class of medicine that finds the plaques and removes them completely from the brain. This is such a remarkable time for our field, such a hopeful time for patients who are affected by this disease or who may be affected in the near future.
So this class of medicine is moving somewhat in parallel to the research you're doing in diagnosis and looking at mixed dementia.
Yeah, it is. It's happening in parallel, and it really raises the importance of what we're doing because we need to find the right patients for these treatments. They're not going to be applicable to everybody. And we need to find the right patients for these drugs and also have the right expectations on these drugs that they may benefit some people more than others, depending on how much additional pathology might be present. And if they do have these other pathologies, we want to make sure they're treated as best as we can for those coexisting conditions. And that's so ultimately, we're working towards the same goal of improving the quality of life and the care and management of our patients.
Talking with clinical neuropsychologist Sterling Johnson, professor of medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, study leader on this new National Institutes of Health study on Alzheimer's disease and biomarkers. You can join in questions and comments, 800-642-1234. The United Kingdom-based Alzheimer's Society says dementia is more common among people who suffer hearing loss when they're middle-aged. Why is dementia more common among people who suffer hearing loss in that age group?
That's such a it's that's a mystery. I don't know the answer to that question. It's something that our field is working on, and hopefully we will have answers in the near future. But I'm not sure why that link is there.
And what can people do to lower their risk of developing dementia? Anything they can do today?
We do believe that a healthy lifestyle and controlling our chronic medical conditions, our vascular health especially, will be important for keeping the brain healthy. The healthier our brain is, the more likely it is to absorb these plaques and tangles and other proteinopathies for longer. And that's why we still recommend a healthy lifestyle and good control of our health so that we do have a little bit of a buffer in case one of these diseases is present in our brain now or will be in the future.
In
How
our
much
oh.
it'll benefit, we're still not sure. We can't put a number on how much benefit an individual will get, but we do think it's important.
In our last moments together, how will this research correlate or migrate or work with the Wisconsin Registry for Alzheimer's Prevention?
That's a lot of the ideas for this research came out of the Wisconsin Registry for Alzheimer's Prevention. And those participants have gone through a lot of these same biomarkers themselves and have made possible this national study, which that's such a great testament to the great work that RAP is doing and the amazing participants that we have in that study.
Sterling, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks, Kate.
Sterling Johnson is a UW School of Medicine and Public Health professor of medicine leading a new National Institutes of Health study into Alzheimer's disease. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.